Hello, this is Patricia Green from across the pond, and I am thrilled. This is my first interview for OneLink, your source for global knowledge sharing and understanding. And I want to thank my friend Rudy Page again for involving me in this journey with him. I also want to thank my producer, Leonard Lawson of Black Ice Productions. None of this would be possible without both of them. So thank you, guys. Well, today we have an exciting interview with someone I've known for more years than I want to mention, because then you'll know a little bit about my age. And I call her Tina. Her name is Christine Brewer, and she's an amazing quilter. Some call her a fiber artist. We'll learn a little bit more from her with respect to how she would like to identify herself. In talking with Tina, we're going to touch on some areas that are critical to OneLink and the kind of knowledge sharing and understanding we hope to impart to you, such that you will learn a lot about us, those of us over here in the United States who also are of African descent. We're going to find out who Tina is, how she came to this place, this world, and a little bit about the contributions that she's making through her art. So good morning, Tina. It's morning over here, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And the sun is shining, so this is going to be a beautiful day for one and all. And thank you so much for including me in your very first interview. I'm so excited and really thrilled to be a part. I just wish that everybody could partake of the visual interpretation of my artwork, but I hope that they'll get a chance to go to the website and take a look at it and understand how excited I am to share this with you verbally, because I'm a visual artist. So
what's your web address before we start?
Well, you can look up Tina Williams Brewer and .com, and it'll all kind of come up, and you can learn a little bit more in depth about my journey. And this is all a journey for all of us, so I was excited to hear you say that this is a journey, because I will tell you how long I've been on my journey, and it's probably 35 years that I've been working with fiber art. And I am a native of Huntington, West Virginia, which is kind of country, and my lineage is from Ohio, which is a neighboring state, and Kentucky. And most of my imagery in the very beginning was rooted in Christianity. I learned my discipline through my Catholicism, and then I was enlightened by the others. So I embrace many ways of thinking in terms of spirituality. So I call myself a spiritual person now. So I think that most people that view my artwork, they are touched by that emotional response of what they see. And if you had to say, well, what do the quilts look like? They look a lot like, unfortunately, I'm going to use somebody very famous, and I'm honored. But many people have said that my work looks a lot like Romare Bearden. As in a collage.
And
yes,
tell us about Romare Bearden.
Romare Bearden was after the Harlem Renaissance, and he worked in New York City. He was a painter, and then he departed from his painting and did collage work. And he did, it was a political, pretty much political statements rooted in the African-American experience. And oftentimes also off of Romare Bearden's work also came renowned artist, writer, August Wilson, who was also a part of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is my hometown. I am now in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I have been here for over 40 years. So it's something special about Pittsburgh that tells you that you need to know who you are, where your roots are. And because when I came here, I had not been really involved in culture, it has been a journey to be able to find out where from whence I came. So when I started this journey 35 years ago about, you know, it was about research and about digging out the information, trying to find the books, and trying to learn more about who we are as African people and African Americans in America.
And I want to interject. I want to interject that I remember the research, the exhaustive research you were doing to uncover that information such that what you created was authentic to who we were as a culture.
Absolutely. And if I think I remember correctly, you bought my very first piece.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. It was very unique. It's not as unique now because, you know, much more has been, history has been revealed. But at the time that I started making what I can call a story quilt, using untraditional materials, which is not just cotton with squares and triangles, I began to do collage work that was reminiscent of imagery from the diaspora. And much of my education has come from the research that I have done for each quilt. So, and I draw upon, you know, social situations. Now, I did four quilts that were rooted in linkages that bridged the African-American experience back to the continent. And I only have one piece that is in my ownership now. All the rest of them have been collected in museums. So I felt very, very honored that somebody appreciated what I was doing in my little studio at home. But again, it was not about the artist. It was more about the artwork. So it's always been about the artwork.
Listeners, let me tell you, when Tina and I are talking, we are talking. So I want you to hear her journey, which she's giving a great description of. I'm going to have to jump in there every now and then and let Tina breathe a little bit such that I can get some important information out that I know you'd like to know about her, because she mentioned that her quilts are in museums domestically and globally.
Yes. Well, the state of Texas has been very, very nurturing to me early on in my career, and they have three of my pieces in their museum in Dallas, Texas. The Pennsylvania State Museum has a piece in Pennsylvania, and Wilberforce has an African American museum that has part of my collection.
And
but I've also been blessed.
Let me mention. Wilberforce is a university, an African-American university?
Yes, in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so within the last 10 years, I've been part of what is called the Arts and Embassy Program of the United States Embassies. Have artists that go out, that are installed in the different embassies throughout the world, and I am on my third embassy. I was in Ghana. Then I was collected in a permanent collection in Dakar. I'm not in Dakar, in Khartoum in the Sudan. So they have three of my pieces that are permanently installed there. And then I have a piece that is visiting in Dakar now. So, you know, I just felt like my art has a life of its own, and I'm so very proud that people are interested in my interpretation and my observation of what I think is important.
Great. Now, you've mentioned it a bit. However, let's go back to the power of quilt making, particularly with respect to the culture that we are in and that many of our listeners are in, the African culture. What does quilt making mean with respect to who we were and what we can become? How are the linkages there?
Well, I think that, you know, I stumbled. And that meant that I felt that I had an intervention from the ancestors to have this information. Because I was just quilting one of my great aunt's quilts that was a scrap quilt, which means there's, you know, no real new fabric in it, that it's all just strips of modest fabrics, leftovers, that became beautiful interpretations of artwork. And it was an African expression because it was made in the same methods they make kente cloth, which is called strip quilting. So the strip quilting is a kind of synonymous with the African-American experience of quilting, but we go way beyond that because also the African experience of appliqué, which is, the appliqué is to take a form and to round out the corners and then stitch down the fold of the fabric. and which is the method that I used in the very beginning of my quilting. I no longer do that. I use everything cut straight out, and I use a embroidery stitches over top of the edges just to hope to keep the artwork down, keep the images down. It is a process of layering the images one on top of the other. So just to back up slightly, what I started out doing was doing quilting as it is in an American style, and I added what I thought to be our experience of what we brought to the Americas and started to layer the stories. So the quilts are images on top of images on top of images. So, and then they have a transparency so that you can see through the transparent fabric into the layer below and below and below. So it became, my method became part of a representation of my journey because it was like peeling back the onion to find where the history connects.
Excellent.
Was that clear?
That was extremely clear. Now, because of that method, you've received some noteworthy awards. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've been honored?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was, in 2009, I was so very pleased to be honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award for the Pittsburgh filmmakers in the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. And through my connections with the Society for Contemporary Crafts, I have made my connection with the Arts and Embassy program. Now I'm going to get a Legacy Award next week. So I feel like
Who's giving you the Legacy Award?
The Legacy Arts, Kente Arts, which is a community organization, because I do most of my work within our community, the African-American community. I go outside of the community to do lectures and workshops outside of Pittsburgh. But my major contribution that I'm most proud of is the work that I do with children.
Yes. Tell us about that.
I've been working with an integrated arts program with the Society for Contemporary Crafts for 18 years, where they integrate the arts with the academics, which, you know, they understand how. So it's an application of the academics, like the math and the social studies, and then the art come together. And so being a part of something like that, that recognizes that we're trying to introduce our young people the importance of culture.
So what I'm hearing you say in many ways is that we're all here to make it a better place for those who come after us.
Mm-hmm.
And the quilting process makes that a reality because for many African-American families that have had quilts in their history, they have remained a part of that family. They've been maybe hidden in attics or stored in boxes, but they live on through the quilts, those who came before us. And they give us messages of strength, of survival, of hope against the odds. Tina, thank you so much for this inspirational discussion. I cannot tell you what it meant to me to hear even more information beyond what I knew with respect to what you do and how its interpretation gives voice to who we are in an authentic way culturally and our impact not just on domestic but world affairs. Thank you so much for that. How can our listeners, again, learn a little bit more about you?
Well, I have a webpage for Tina Williams Brewer. And you can see some of my quilts on that site. And there's also a video that's available for Master Visual Artist that I received an award this year for that. So there's a couple of ways that they can get in touch with you.
Yes, they can email me at patricia.green@linkages.com. And we're just so excited about this season of One Link and what it does with respect to global understanding. So continue to tune in. I have another interview coming up that I'm sure you'll be equally interested in. and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.